Welcome back to your Divine Office podcast, where we have all your kind of most scriptural and most efficacious Catholic prayers in one place for you each morning so that you can get a plenary indulgence or equivalent graces with much greater ease, even as you take from the treasure of the riches of the Church Fathers and the Church's tradition to learn more and more each day. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. We'll pray the invitatory, then the Pope's intentions can be inserted, and we'll begin the office proper. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples, you guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Let us pray that the use of new technologies will not replace human relationships. So these are the Pope's monthly intentions. With respect to the dignity of the person, we'll respect the dignity of the person and will help us face the crises of our time. Lord, good Father, as I look at the world and see men and women working in you, in it, and beautifying it, a great thank you springs from my heart. The action of your Spirit among us encourages us to grow in the progress of science and technology, in the service of human dignity, for integral and inclusive human development. Because we know you desire the good of all, from the heart of your Church, your Son calls us to ensure that technology does not replace human person-to-person contact, that the virtual does not replace the real, and that social networks do not replace social settings. Help us to develop the ability to live wisely, to think deeply, to love generously, without losing heart, promoting scientific and technical growth that increasingly aligns with human development in responsibility, values, and awareness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray in Our Father and a Hail Mary for all these new technologies to be used and to be protected from the most dangerous paths. As we pray for the Holy Father's monthly intention, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For a hymn, we'll be praying just the Lorica of St. Patrick. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection and his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, in obedience of angels, in service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the preachings of the apostles, in faiths of confessors, in innocence of virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I rise today through the strength of heaven, light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me, from snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and near, alone or in a multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and evil, against every cruel and merciless power that opposes my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of women and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Christ, shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that hears me, that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I rise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. First prayer is going to be Psalm 51, the great prayer of repentance from the office proper. Our first psalm prayer is going to be this. Antiphon 1, create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. Psalm 51, O God, have mercy on me. Your innermost being must be renewed, and you must put on the new man. Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done, that you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born. A sinner was I conceived. Indeed, you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins, turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways and sinners may return to you. O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart you will not spurn. In your goodness show favor to Zion. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocausts offered on your altar. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. Rejoice, Jerusalem, for through you all men will be gathered to the Lord. Our next prayer is actually a canticle taken from the Old Testament book of Tobiah, which is a really good, easy to understand, short book that if you haven't read, it's a great thing to read, to shut off the computer or read on the computer and just focus on it. He showed me the holy city Jerusalem, which shone with the glory of God, Revelation 21, 10 through 11. Let all men speak of the Lord's majesty and sing his praises in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, holy city, he scourged you for the works of your hands, but will again pity the children of the righteous. Praise the Lord for his goodness and bless the King of the ages, so that his tent may be rebuilt in you with joy. May he gladden within you all who were captives. All who were ravished, may he cherish within you for all generations to come. A bright light will shine to all parts of the earth. Many nations shall come to you from afar, and the inhabitants of all the limits of the earth, drawn to you by the name of the Lord God, bearing in their hands their gifts for the King of heaven. Every generation shall give joyful praise in you, and all shall call you the Chosen One, through all ages, forever. Go then, rejoice over the children of the righteous, who shall all be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the ages. Happy are those who love you, and happy are those who rejoice in your prosperity. Happy are all the men who shall grieve over you, over all your chastisements, for they shall rejoice in you as they behold all your joy forever. My spirit blesses the Lord, the great King. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice, Jerusalem, for through you all men will be gathered to the Lord. Third prayer from the scriptural prayers. Antiphon, Zion, praise your God who sent his word to renew the earth. O praise the Lord, Jerusalem, Zion, praise your God. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with finest wheat. He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow white as wool. He scatters horse frost like ashes. He hurls down hailstones like crumbs. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow. He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel, his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees. All-powerful Father, grant us your Holy Spirit so we may not sin in the stubborn ways that we do, and that we may follow we have so far this year. And grant us also to follow you unreservedly, to turn to you throughout today. So that'll be a key phrase from our lesson coming up now. Follow you unreservedly. And it's actually one of the touchstones of the whole idea of how to observe the law in the Pentateuch by following God this way. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts, her righteousness, for following God unreservedly, we pray for your intentions and for me and you to make it out to the new life of Christ, to true spiritual freedom this Easter. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective rays of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Zion, praise your God, who sent his word to renew the earth. Turn back to the Lord your God. He is kind and merciful. We have our office of readings now. From the book of Numbers, we read from the book of Numbers, chapter 14, 1 through 25. the murmuring of the people and the intervention of Moses. The whole community broke out with loud cries, and even in the night the people wailed. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the whole community, saying to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that here in the desert we were dead. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land only to have us fall by the sword? Our wives and little ones will be taken as booty. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and go back to Egypt." But Moses and Aaron fell prostrate before the whole assembled community of the Israelites, while Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Zephirath, who had been in the party that scouted the land, tore their garments and said to the whole community of the Israelites, "The country which we went through and explored is a fine, rich land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us in and give us that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But do not rebel against the Lord. You need not be afraid of the people of that land. They are but food for us. Their defense has left them. But the Lord is with us. Therefore, do not be afraid of them." In answer, the whole community threatened to stone them. But then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? How long will they refuse to believe in me, despite all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and wipe them out. Then I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Are the Egyptians to hear of this? For by your power you brought out this people from among them. And are they to tell of it to the inhabitants of this land? It has been heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. You, Lord, are plainly you plainly reveal yourself. Your cloud stands over them, and you go before them by day in a column of cloud, and by night in a column of fire. If now you slay this whole people, the nations who have heard such reports of you will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring this people into the land he swore to give them. That is why he slaughtered them in the desert.' Now then, let the power of my Lord be displayed in its greatness. Even as you have said, 'The Lord is slow to anger and rich in kindness, forgiving wickedness and crime, yet not declaring the guilty guiltless, but punishing children to the third and fourth generation for the father's wickedness. Pardon then the wickedness of this people in keeping with your great kindness, even as you have forgiven them from Egypt until now.' The Lord answered, 'I pardon them as you have asked. Yet by my life and the Lord's glory that fills the whole earth, of all the men who have seen my glory and the signs I worked in Egypt and in the desert, and who nonetheless have put me to the test 10 times already and have failed to heed my voice, not one shall see the land which I promised on oath to their fathers. None of these who have spurned me shall see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me unreservedly, I will bring him into the land where he has just been, and his descendants shall possess it. But now, since the Amalekites and Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn away tomorrow and set out in the desert on the Red Sea Road." Responsory prayer. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to anger and full of compassion. He will not always reprove us. His law will come to an end. His wrath will come to an end. As tenderly as a father treats his children, the Lord treats those who stand in awe of him. He knows of what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. As tenderly as a father treats his children, the Lord treats those who stand in awe of him. And truly, I think it's pretty clear, using Catholic rules of interpretation, to see Caleb here as, you know, these are the people that are really firm, maybe the people we commemorate on All Saints Day or even the saints. But yet in that time, they really were very rebellious, and the reproach of Egypt, the wickedness of their hearts still remained with them. even the Holy Spirit had not been given to make people holy the way it was after Christ and after the birth of the church on Pentecost. So in any case, this is one of the touchstones that some people, they follow God's law in a different way, with the divine life of a different spirit that animates them as they turn to God unreservedly. They have this total faith in God. Anyway, the story around this is really quite shocking and interesting. Some parts of the Pentateuch really are so rich, almost like the Gospels. You can put yourself in them, like this passage, and you can imagine, okay, as I'm working on my own Exodus this Lent, am I like Caleb? Am I able to trust God's word completely? To know that even though it looks crazy, the odds against me are unbelievable. Do I have that purity of intention, that purity of heart, like he did, to know that God of Israel was our Father and would take care of us, even if that didn't necessarily, and that we should follow him unreservedly, even if it doesn't work out the way we think? You know, it's crazy. The people wouldn't go into the land in the story from the Pentateuch. The books of Moses say that they wouldn't go in when God and Moses and Caleb were urging them to go in, so they made their own choice. And then after this proclamation where God tells them, okay, go out into the desert, you know what they say? Oh, now we're going to go conquer the land, right? So it's just crazy, because it's like, no matter what God says, they want to do the opposite. And of course, figuring out the psychological dynamics of that and the spiritual dynamics of that is probably something that many priests and rabbis have spent a long time trying to figure out. But yeah, literally, it shows them like that, totally disobedient, totally losing faith in God over certain types of events. And those events, of course, form the backdrop to their legislation and their laws. Let's read from an Easter letter by St. Athanasius to help encourage us and direct us to what the liturgy cycle, what's so important about Lent and Easter. He's going to teach us. Brethren, how fine a thing it is to move from festival to festival, from prayer to prayer, from holy day to holy day. The time is now at hand when we enter on a new beginning, the proclamation of the blessed Passover, in which the Lord was sacrificed. We feed as on the food of life. We constantly refresh our souls with his precious blood as from a fountain. Yet we are always thirsting, burning to be satisfied. But he himself is present for us, for those who thirst, and in his goodness invites them to the feast day. Our Savior repeats his words. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He quenched the thirst not only of those who came to him. Whenever someone seeks him, he is freely admitted to the presence of the Savior. The grace of the feast is not restricted to one occasion. Its rays of glory never set. It is always at hand to enlighten the mind of those who desire it. Its power is always there for those whose minds have been enlightened and who meditate day and night on the Holy Scriptures. Like the one who is called blessed in the Holy Psalm, blessed is the man who has not followed the counsel of the wicked, or stood where sinners stand, or sat in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Moreover, my friends, the God who first established this feast for us allows us to celebrate it each year. He who gave up his Son to death for our salvation, from the same motive, gives us this feast, which is commemorated every year. This feast guides us through the trials that meet us in this world. God now gives us the joy of salvation that shines out from this feast, and he means Easter, as he brings us together to form one assembly, uniting us all in spirit and in every place, allowing us to pray together and to offer common thanksgiving, as is our duty on the feast. Such is the wonder of his love. He gathers to this feast those who are apart, and brings together in unity of faith those who may be physically separated from one another. Wait for me, says the Lord. Wait for the day when I shall rise again. I will purify the lips of all peoples on that day, that they may call upon the name of the Lord and unite in serving him. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. I will purify the lips of all peoples on that day, and that they may call upon the name of the Lord and unite in serving Him. So again, Lent and Easter are so powerful. I think they're one of the best things, actually, about being Catholic, are these different liturgical seasons. So our whole liturgical calendar and everything is actually about the Gospels. So the idea is walking with Christ, walking with Him in the Gospels. Though all the scriptures are very important, Catholicism really privileges the Gospels, and that's why we stand for them at the Mass and so forth, because they contain the life and teachings of the incarnate Word, our Savior Jesus Christ, as Vatican II would say. Lent, you try to remember, yes, Jesus, before He was baptized, after He was baptized, He has to go out, driven by the Spirit, into the desert. And God, this Lent, it gets me wondering. The prophet Ezekiel says that He has to do a symbolic penance on behalf of the people for every one of the years that they were disobedient to God. It makes you wonder. Many theologians say Christ is trying to recapitulate in some way the 40 years that this generation that we just read about, their children, they're not going to enter the promised land, but their sons and daughters are going to be raised in this penitential journey of 40 years in the wilderness, and then they will enter the promised land. It gets me wondering, right? This Lent, if Christ is, in a sense, recapitulating that by doing penance for all of His people throughout the ages that didn't enter, and they go out on this journey for 40 years. Kind of interesting food for thought to think a day of Christ fasting and doing penance for a year of our kind of sins. And also, I don't know how to articulate that thought, but it would be similar to the prophet Ezekiel. Anyway, let's go on to the next part and we'll finish our office. Indeed, You know me, says the Lord, and You know where I come from. Yet I have not come of my own accord. It was my Father who sent me. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to His people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of His servant David. Through His holy prophets, He promised of old that He would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. This was the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship Him without fear, holy and righteous in His sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His way, to give His people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Indeed, you know me, says the Lord, and you know where I come from. Yet I have not come of my own accord. It was my Father who sent me. But yeah, the spiritual meaning of this is that we walk with Christ, and we try to become saints as we make up for the things that we've done wrong and retrace those steps to follow Him in a special way to strengthen faith, hope, and charity. So here we go. Intercessions. Let us pray to Christ our Savior, who redeemed us by His death and resurrection. Actually, let's pray for the family. So we're going to have those petitions, revised petitions from earlier this week. We pray for families in conflict, that quarreling families in our parish or parishes overcome deep wounds to that special intimate friendship that they have through forgiveness and reconciliation, coming to better reflect the infinite joy of discovering the other's beauty and goodness that exists within the family of the Trinity. We pray for families that don't know their call. We pray that they will realize their unique call by grace to be the first and foremost image of that intimate fellowship of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit, that they will draw new power from living as families of missionary disciples, to witness to God's tireless love in Christ to this world that is losing hope, to a world that is losing hope. We pray that we will recognize as civil leaders and as a society that strengthening and safeguarding families is the only gateway to a lasting peace in our world, a peace built on authentic well-being and human flourishing. We pray that families suffering hard times will discover that they have an extended family in the church, God's family, and that they will find the practical persons and resources in their parish or parishes to make the difficulties easier. Thank you, Lord, that breaking free from addictive tendencies, families will band together to ask government leaders for social and legal protection from widespread dangers, especially pornography, crime, corruption, and other dangers. We pray for husbands and wives to resolve tensions in their families, that their families may be led by spouses that share in a common deliberation about decision-making, so that in oneness they may raise up strong men and women nourished by many happy memories of their own childhood. We pray for the leaders of our church. We pray that the ministers of the church may work hard to restore a real, authentic sense of family in local and extended communities. This can be done through formation focused on parishioners coming to know Christ, his mission and identity, and use that mission and identity as the measuring rod by which we ought to assess everything else. Thus, the church will show all men, women, and children that they are loved and cherished members of God's family, whether they be men, women, one ethnicity or another, one race or another, successful or impaired in any way. That families will rediscover the joy of the bridegroom and the joy of the bride that began their relationship, especially spouses. Help them discover this as something ever new that can be renewed or deepened, something that is at the heart of God's plan for the ever-deepening moral, Christian, and evangelical excellence and virtue of their family. That the love of husband and wife be recognized as the ground for joyful and successful families, as spouses gain a personal friendship that forms a solid foundation for their children to recognize in others the great dignity and value of all human persons, regardless of their background or creed, whom God created to be named children of the one whom God wants to be called our Father. That families whose unity and love is shattered by competitive tendencies and any form of domination or selfishness will find peace as they look for new ways of governing themselves, ways that honor each other's wishes and dignity, even if that means sacrificing my will for the day, rather than focusing only on rights and duties, limited as those often are, just to preventing abuse. We pray for all of your personal intentions, and we pray for the family of the church as we gather our prayers and praises into one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Father, source of all life, you know our weakness. May we reach out with joy to grasp your hand and walk more readily in your ways. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the souls in purgatory, or a soul in purgatory, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We always try to hand on the faith. I try to find some short ways, because honestly, that's how I came up. Just a few minutes, 10 minutes a day, short ways to hand on the faith. And I think that really helps my generation with its shortened attention span. But anyway, we reflect on the last petition. We studied what the church teaches about that deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer. So we find ourselves caught in this dramatic situation, and this petition reminds us of the dramatic situation, the legacy of Adam on one side, the legacy of Christ on the other. And we ask God, we make a verbal choice or try to use part of our freedom to say, God, deliver us from evil. Meaning, God, put us on your side in this dramatic spiritual combat against the powerful lion. The lion that is the devil, who Peter tells us is like a lion seeking to devour each one of us if we fall away, if we're weak. So on the lookout, let's talk a little bit about the works of the devil. Jesus talks about them, but I think this image came to me and the Spirit was giving me this image from the book of Isaiah. He says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was preaching to the people, and this is the image. They rely on empty pleas, they tell lies, they conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity, they hatch the eggs of vipers and weave a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. Crack the one open, and a viper is hatched. Their cobwebs cannot be made into clothing, and they cannot cover themselves with their works. Their deeds are sinful deeds. So I'm not going to go into a long catechesis. Like I said, this is short. But some things can really be reflected on, right? First off, taking part in the works of the devil, the spider's eggs, not only hurts the sinner, but it affects the whole body of Christ in a very profound, but also subtle way, but also subtle ways. And we're not just talking about the huge things like the movie that we saw about human trafficking, though those are the things that maybe shock people into like realizing, hey, this is a dramatic situation. It's not just a social problem, but original sin creates a dramatic situation between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Christ. We're saved together. We're reminded in this petition that we are saved together as a community, us. We pray together and obtain graces for each other to be delivered from evil. So Christian life isn't just, for the Catholic Church especially, Christian life is not this individual spirituality of being saved separately, I and the Father, and maybe we come together for Bible study once in a while. But it's we gather together into the one bride of Christ, the body of Christ, God's family of faith. So there's interdependency, big spiritual term there. The Catechism mentions interdependency. Everything affects everything else. And my little choices have a cascading butterfly effect throughout the world. There's a dazzling variety of hidden interconnections that people wouldn't even think about. And of course, other religions know this. Buddhism in particular makes a big deal out of that. But there's something new that goes even beyond that, which is that in Christ, the Creator has become one of us. The Son of God has become one of us and made us one body in Christ, so we're interconnected in an even deeper way. We is that intensely biblical term. It goes back to the original communion that is the image of God. Adam and Eve, they existed in a joint friendship of oneness, and Eve was able to say we and speak on behalf of Adam when she was talking to the serpent, because they were one. So, not an innovative concept, but a biblical concept. Now, likewise, the church says that we are praying on behalf of others in the name of the church, in the Our Father, as one theologian has put it. We pray that we'll be delivered, and that others, through the prayers of others, we will be delivered from sin, from regrets over the past machinations and works of the devil, that we'll be able to recognize this situation and respond to it rightly. Anyway, more to it, but let's move on. Let's read a little bit about the next petition. We're working our way backwards from the last petitions of the Our Father to the first. So let's begin reading, and the church will speak and preach like a mother to us in CCC 2846 for a few paragraphs. This petition, "Lead us not into temptation," goes to the root of the preceding one, for our sins result from our consenting to temptation. We therefore ask our Father not to lead us into temptation. It is difficult to translate the Greek verb used by a single English word. The Greek means both do not allow us to enter into temptation and do not let us yield to temptation. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. On the contrary, he wants to set us free from evil. We ask him not to allow us to take the way that leads to sin. We are engaged in the battle between flesh and spirit. This petition implores the spirit of discernment and strength. The Holy Spirit makes us discern between trials, which are necessary for the growth of the inner man, and temptation, which leads to sin and death. We must also discern between temptation, being tempted, and consenting to temptation. Finally, discernment unmasks the lie of temptation, whose object appears to be good, a delight to the eyes, and desirable, quoting the book of Genesis, when in reality its fruit is death. God does not want to impose the good, but wants free beings. There is a certain usefulness to temptation. No one but God knows what our soul has received from him, not even we ourselves. But temptation reveals it in order to teach us to know ourselves. In this way, we discover our evil inclinations and are obliged to give thanks for the goods that temptation has revealed to us. That's an educational quote from Origen of Alexandria, who knew a lot about freedom and free choices and made that one of his big topics. So again, that thing, discerning between being tempted and consenting to temptation, is usually something Catholics will learn through the handing on of tradition when they go to confession. So they have to learn, yes, I have to confess sins, but I also have to take responsibility, not just in the general way that we do during the penitential rite, but in the specific way by discerning, hey, I did this. I was disrespectful in this way, in this specific way, or I had this thought, but I gave into it. I wanted it. I fed it, and I allowed it to have possession of my body and soul at this specific way, in this specific moment, not just generally, oh, I had this, I have bad thoughts, or, oh, I'm prideful, or, oh, I was tempted and I felt bad because I'm capable of being tempted. Anyway, a lot of really good stuff there. We'll read more about that petition tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.